You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast episode 296. Now, listeners, this show is all about young event horses. It is all about the Young Event Horse Special. And my first guest is a young man who recently made the trip from the States to head over to the Young Horse World Championships at Le Lion d'Angers in France to compete to represent the US there. And it is none other than Cole Horn. Cole, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Really appreciate you having me on.
I'm really looking forward to hearing a little bit more about your Le Lion journey, because you were actually the recipient of the Holcamp Turner grant, which was founded back in 2015. It's all about helping to give these younger horses real experience and mileage, and in particular, be able to compete on the world stage at that sort of young, influential moment in their careers. So first of all, let's go back a little bit in terms of your journey to Le Lion d'Angers before we talk about how those championships played out for you. So MBF Coulee Permission to Land is the horse that you took over for those seven-year-old world championships. Just tell us a little bit about him and his background. How long have you been a partnership?
So I purchased him from Richard Sheen post-auction back in, I want to say, 2017 as a three-year-old in the Go for Gold auction that's coming up shortly in a few weeks. And basically, Richard was kind enough to sell him to me for a little bit more money on top and the Coulee name forever, which I was happy to pay it because I always thought he would be a very special horse. And, you know, I was working for Ryan Wood at the time, and we brought him over, and Ryan and I started getting him ready to be broken in, and I think we must have been sat on him in the first week, honestly. Like, he was, to this day, probably one of the most straightforward, kind horses I've ever worked with to start. And, you know, I sort of had heard about Le Lion back then a little bit. It had been starting to be something that I had an eye on, and I always thought, you know, this is such a cool, talented horse that maybe we could have a shot at pulling something off like this. And even back in those early days, you know, long shot for sure, but you know, it still felt like a long shot this whole year, you know, again, a seven-year-old ready to go and do a three long on the world stage. It's not a small task to manage. And so, you know, I produced him kind of carefully through the years and just made sure not to overface him and keep him always confident and comfortable in what he's doing. And I feel quite strongly that that result has paid off. And, you know, that's sort of what I try and put into any young horse that I'm working with at the end of the day. And, you know, when they're as special as he is, they can go all the way, I think.
I find this, I mean, it's such an important time in the sort of early part of their career and sort of shaping what will come in future years. But actually, what we love about this grant is that it actually comes from initially their five-year-old year. So it's awarded to the horse that has the highest score from the USCA Young Event Horse Championships in their five-year-old year, which was back in 2019, that is right. Then qualified to compete as a seven-year-old in Le Lion, and that is the Holcamp Turner grant, and that is what enables you to make the trip, because we all know it's massively expensive flying horses all over the world, and therefore it makes it possible. Yeah. So when you went to those Young Event Horse Championships, was that part of his education, and did you think at that point, do you know what, actually this grant, this trip to Le Lion could be on the cards at this point?
You know, as a five-year-old, he actually didn't do particularly well in the Young Event Horse Championship. You know, he's a very laid-back type with a very impressive jump over a bigger fence, but he's also stands at 72 even back as a five-year-old. So sort of the training level, prelim-ish height that they have at that level just doesn't exactly get him to show his best necessarily. So, you know, like, it was actually a little bit of a disappointing outcome at the 5-year-olds, you know, and so I knew that that would put us on the log for the grant. And to be honest, I didn't entirely bank on getting the grant this whole entire year. I had just sort of sold all my worldly belongings and young horses to sort of prepare to do this in case I didn't get the grant, with, you know, hope that maybe I would. But there was always Doug front running for this, I mean, for the past 7 months since June, I think, when they announced that he was leading the grant. And I hadn't even moved my horse up to intermediate yet until the end of June. So I didn't really think that we were in the running for the grant, but, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, you sort of give yourself the right preparation, put them in that 5-year-old class, and at least put yourself up for the eligibility, and you never know how the cookie's going to crumble at the end of the day.
That's brilliant. So you had sort of committed to being able to make this trip happen. Am I right in saying it's your first visit to Le Lion? So is it your first international event abroad as well?
It's my first international event abroad, and I believe it's actually only my 13th or 14th FEI, as amazing. I tend to spend most of my time on young horses.
So what was your first impression of Le Lion d'Angers? Because for those of you that haven't been or seen pictures, go and look it up, in particular the cross-country course, because am I right?
Yeah, I mean,
it is literally a work of art.
Yeah, it kind of blows you away a little bit, the amount of effort that they put into putting this event together. It's honestly unlike anything I've ever seen in the U.S., in terms of just the artistry that goes into each jump and combination. You know, it's a lot for a horse to look at. And, you know, like, if you've got a horse who can make it around that sort of cross-country course, you've got a good horse to sort of look forward to in the future. I mean, even just in every type of crowd they're drawn from, local French populace, is incredible. I mean, you know, for the young horses to see that and get used to that at the age they're in, it's a massive opportunity, because you just don't really get that until really the 5-star level, maybe some 4-stars you might see crowds like that. But to be able to do that on a 7-year-old and get them sort of used to seeing that at that age is a really great opportunity, I think.
So how pleased were you with your Le Lion trip? Talk us through your week, because it is a big experience for you and for a lot of these young horses that you don't know quite how they're going to take to it until you're there. So how did the week play out for you?
Well, you know, my goal going into this was, I always saw this as a stepping stone. I mean, it's a huge event, you know, competing against the best in the world and the best 7-year-olds and 6-year-olds there are, essentially. So, you know, going into this, I planned for this to really just be about creating a good experience for myself and my horse to sort of build on in the next few years. And so we went to dressage, and we had a really consistent and really, like, accurate overall test without any sort of mistakes. And that was sort of our goal going into this, because, you know, he's not quite as far along as some of the other horses were. I mean, the standard in the dressage was incredible. You know, a test that might have scored us like a low 30, high 20 in the US was a 36, you know, for the European circuit. So that was kind of a bit of an eye opener for me. And it was, you know, just the quality of the horses and the quality of the riding was just on a whole nother level, which is why we came to get this experience ultimately. And then first glance on the cross country, you know, I walked around it with my coach Waylon Roberts, and we both were really happy with it overall, but, you know, we were both sort of wide-eyed at the types of jumps that you're jumping at there. I mean, they have toads, horns. It's actually incredible what they have. At the end of the course, they have you jump off essentially the roof of a cottage, and we had a bending five stride to an angle brush, bending to another three stride angle brush. So like, tough questions to see for a 7 year old. And so we just sort of did the dressage, you know, we got what we got in that, and then we're just all eyes set on cross country. And, you know, plan was to sort of go as quick as we could and be as careful as we could. And unfortunately, we had a hind end outside of one of the flags at the end of the course. But, you know, we picked up a 15, but it was sort of my inexperience and misjudgment there. And, you know, that's part of the journey for me ultimately. And we were still only 10 seconds over the time, which for me, hitting that sort of course on terrain that this horse has never seen in his life was a really incredible experience for both of us. Going into show jumping, it was a tough course for any level. You know, like just the course itself asked every question in the book. You know, and we went and had a really consistent round. Unfortunately, pulling two rails, but you know, I came out with a big smile on my face because, you know, like we came and we completed our goal for that weekend. And there was a lot more experienced riders with their horses who didn't make it around this entire event. But for us to even, you know, complete this at such a green stage in both myself and the horse, I mean, it's my first three long ever. So for me to sort of achieve that, that was just a huge blessing in a lot of ways. I was so pleased with the overall event.
What is it given to you both in terms of experience, the opportunity that has come from the grant over the last, you know, few months, but particularly this last few weeks of being able to compete in Le Lyon? For both you and the horse, what are you going to take from it going into 2022?
I think, you know, what it's given me is it's showing me the next level that I need to be aiming for, not just with this horse, but with every horse, you know, that there is a level beyond and a level beyond what, you know, we might see at home all the time. And getting the opportunity of the grant to travel over here and compete at Le Lyon was huge for that experience. And I'm really looking forward to what we're going to sort of be able to roll that into with next year. You know, it's just getting more experience competing on this side of the world. You know, I'm going to be based just south of Manchester for the next year. And for me, it gives me the opportunity to keep on competing in the heart of eventing, because I think you really could call the heart of eventing currently UK, with numerous top riders all basing out of this one country. And so my goal is to just gather as much as I can in my time here. And thanks to the Dutta grant, I will be able to fly home at the end of next year on a round trip flight they provided with the grant. And so I'm just going to make the most of that time and really push to extend my range as a rider and the range of my horses to the next level.
Well, we are very excited to have you over here on this side of the world. Hopefully our paths will cross at an event in the UK, but MBF Cooley Permission to Land, obviously unbelievably talented for the future. So we'll look forward to seeing your next steps there as well. But thank you so much for sharing your Le Lyon journey with us, because it's been a very, very cool one. And yeah, we're looking forward to seeing the next step. So thank you, Colton. Enjoy the UK. It's cold and wet over here at the moment.
Quite cold and rainy, but I'm loving it so far, and thanks for having me on, Cole.
Pleasure. Now, the second half of this show, listeners, is going back a couple of years in these young horses' careers, because we are going to talk all about that Young Event Horse program and where it really starts for them. And I have got two exceptional guests lined up to tell us about it in a little bit more detail. Both heavily involved in the programme. They were the judges of the two championships this year, Chris Ryan and Debbie Adams. Welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you. Chris, our listeners will have probably clocked the Irish accent. You are actually in my half of the world, having just returned from your trip out to the States.
Yeah, great trip over there, East Coast, West Coast, and they're so hospitable, and they're putting a lovely horse on the ground out there. So it's exciting times for America. And you know, just a general comment first. I think that I was saying in the commentary on the Five Star Maryland, which I was able to co-host with Hugh Lacour, the eventing world needs America to win medals. And they sort of looked at me and they said, "You mean that?" And I said, "Absolutely." And major players, America, it's hugely important for us from Ireland that America keeps buying our horses. That's one obviously self-serving interest, but again, for the eventing world and for the vitality of the sport itself. And they're major players, always have been. And we see there this year some real progress made with Will winning the Aachen Nations Cup there with off the record. Absolutely brilliant. And great performances, team performances there and at Buccalo. So for me, and looking at the young horses on the ground, America is back.
Great news to hear America's back. I have to interrupt on that because we are trying hard. That is for sure.
I think it's a really important point, actually, and one that we've spoken about on this show and on the Equa Ratings Eventing podcast in the last few months in particular as well. You know, it is such an enormous country, and there is so much wealth of experience, of knowledge, and of excellent horsemen and women. And actually, those top-end results are sort of expected as such, and they haven't been as easy to come by in the last few years as they would have. We'd have all perhaps liked, but actually there is so much positivity around the camp. There is so much good feeling heading into 2022 and the World Equestrian Games. And ultimately the horses that we will be talking about in this young event horse classes from this year are horses that we could potentially be seeing on the US team in LA 2028, which is obviously fast approaching as well. One and a half Olympic cycles left, mm-hmm. I think we can say on that one. So first of all, let's start with the Young Event Horse program and how it works. Debbie, let me just ask you about sort of how it is laid out, because obviously there are the qualification events and then ultimately the championships, which are held on both the East Coast and the West Coast. So just tell us a bit about that and sort of how the format of it is, first of all.
Well, when we started the program, we wanted to make it very similar to what we saw in England. We loved going and watching the championships at Burleigh. We wanted to make it a big deal like that. So we put our championships at Fairhill because that's our biggest. And I start with that because that gives people a huge thing to aim for, to be part of Fairhill, to be with our top 3-day that we have in the fall. So if you have a young horse, a 4 or 5-year-old, and you want to qualify for that particular championship, you only need to do one qualifier if you do a really good job. You would have to score 75% in your jumping and your dressage. So the jumping portion, we do a little differently in this country. We do a show jumping set of 5 fences, and immediately after your 5th fence, you go onto your cross country course, which is 10 fences. And we try to have a variety, you know, so there's water in a ditch and gallop fences so that the judges can really evaluate. So you have to be able to do a dressage test of a very basic level so we can see their gaits, and then the jumping so we can evaluate their potential and their ability.
And in terms of judging the championships, that is something that the two of you undertook this year together. Chris, I understand is it your third championships that you've judged in the young event horse classes?
Yes, I had a great go with Lucinda Green there a few years ago, and then Sally Ike back in 2019. And great company as I have, and with Debbie as well. It's just fantastic. And you know what? All the judges I've worked with, we're all in it, and we're passionate about those young horses. And the compatibility is automatic. I can guarantee it. We know what we're looking for.
And it's something you are all very, very passionate about. So let's strip it back slightly then. So you've got through to the championship as such, and you are there looking at some of the best young horses that the country has to offer in the 4-year-old and the 5-year-old class as well. Obviously, horses all develop at different rates, and you know, some take a little bit longer to mature. Others are very, very sort of at home in a bigger atmosphere straight away. Others need a little bit more exposure to it. So, Chris, where do you start in terms of first impressions of these young horses that you get, yeah, and how the scoring system works on that?
That's a huge one, actually. And they say first impressions last. Well, the first impressions, I'd almost guarantee it, that the first time you put your eyes on a horse, it'll take about a second, not even 2 seconds. And your overall impression is actually scored up. And I used to think it was a lovely, comfortable, exciting gut feel. But I think on analysis, it's nothing as exciting as that is. It's all the synapses in your brain ticking boxes as quick as is possible. And the horse should excite you like a beautiful woman. The first time you look, you think, whoa, it's got to have that kind of a wow effect on you. But I'm looking at it from a confirmation point of view as well. And straight away, the confirmation stands out for me, and it's been my part to play at the last three championships I've judged. And confirmation for me, good confirmation equals good soundness equals good longevity. And the Irish sport horse, thankfully, has a huge reputation for soundness, and long may it last. For these young horses to get to the top, it's a long road, and it's an expensive road. And when they get there, you want them to be there for a long time. And good confirmation, there's no doubt, assists in that. Now, they don't have a confirmation check in the qualifiers, but very importantly, they have it in the championship. And it's worth 10% and some for that. And then on to the jumping phase. And so often that confirmation leads to the kind of stride and length of stride and ease of travel and lightness on feet that we're looking for. It's very rarely that a horse that is not well conformed does not move well. So there is an automatic run through, and little things as well, little pointers if you like. Normally the slope of the shoulder equals the slope of the pastern, and judges will have different priorities as to how they mark a very upright pastern or a very sloped pastern. Slope pastern, obviously, putting more strain on the back of the knee. A very upright pastern, putting a lot of weight on the going up into the knee bones itself. And feet, a huge one. No feet, no horse. We've heard it many, many times, and it's absolutely true. And I'm concerned about the feet that I see in confirmation checks. I'm seeing a lot of feet that are quite contracted. And that's coming from stud books that, for me, haven't paid adequate attention back the years, probably concentrating purely on show jumping. And I want a well-formed foot from the get-go, because when they put that foot on the ground, at pace especially on the kind of ground that you meet in the States more than our side, there's got to be an even dispersal of the force around the foot. That's the first point of impact. And it travels then up to the joint, up to the shin bone, up to the knee, and obviously up into the shoulder where it's absorbed. And so that for me, confirmation is a good picture I'm trying to paint should be a good idea of what's happening. All the power should be coming from behind. Debbie came up with a beautiful description of a horse we saw on the West Coast, and he was more front wheel drive than back wheel. Do you remember that, Debbie?
Yes, I do. And I was going to add to your confirmation comment. I couldn't agree more. Like, when I look at them and the two faces that I judge this time, the dressage and the jumping, I think confirmation plays a huge part in rideability. I think horses that are well built and balanced, I'm very concerned with balance. That makes them so much easier to train, so much easier to ride, and be able to do the footwork needed for our sport.
And we saw it again, and that uphill balance, if we can, if they have that in confirmation, and their next set, I'm very keen on as well, just to optimize, as Debbie says, balance. And if you're coming into a downhill to a very, very upright gait, for instance, in your cross country 5-star, and your horse's head on the ground, you're completely on the forehand, the effort it takes to get that horse's weight on the back end, the time it takes and the setup time it takes is hugely influential. And but again, for the soundness aspect as well, a horse that's on the forehand, he's front loading that that forehand and with force, and it should be on the back end. And it's so much easier when they have it naturally, and you see that through confirmation.
And I agree that our sport is special that way, because show jumping or dressage, you have slightly different things that you can accept or that you want, and we are so much balance, like I say, is the key word.
And do you think that sort of those things that you've just touched upon there, Chris, Debbie, from your perspective, obviously you were taking charge of judging the dressage phases. Chris did the confirmation for both of these championships. You did the dressage part of it. You've obviously picked up on a lot of a similar sort of thing as you're looking at them. But what are you most looking for? Is it the balance in these young horses?
Well, rhythm.
Are we talking for the dressage phase or which? I mean,
to be honest, for the dressage phase, yeah, because they would be in the early stages of their career, obviously. So what are you most looking for in that first phase outside of the balance?
Okay, yeah, because the four-year-old balance is totally different than five-year-old. They change so much during that year. You're looking for the quality of gaits, the evenness, to make sure that they move evenly left and right side. There are horses, but not in the championships, but in the qualifiers, you'll see horses that move a little uneven behind. I mean, they're totally sound. They just don't move the same with both hind legs. You know, one's more agile than the other. So you look for evenness. You look for freedom of shoulders. You look for all the joints, especially in the hind end, to work very fluid, almost in a circle motion, so that all the joints have the ability to develop engagement as they get older.
And then how much do you come together as a partnership, Chris? Obviously, you've seen confirmation, Debbie, you've seen the dressage. Going forward then to judge the jumping and the gallop part of it, how much can you take from each other then for the next phase of the young event horse competition as such? Or does each phase start afresh in that respect?
It'll start afresh, and because we don't get to see the marks, I often wonder how Debbie's getting on, and Debbie will be wondering how I'm getting on, but they are independently judged. But for the jumping phase, that's where it gets. We join forces there, and we'll talk us through what we're looking for over the first couple of fences. We're bang in line, you know, as soon as they start jumping, even when the horse first appears for the jumping phase. And we might discuss them and say what do you like, what do I like, and obviously the lightness on the ground you see ever before they lift off the ground, and the tight that they are, and we've already remembered them from the previous day, me in confirmation and Debbie in the flat work, and Debbie's flat work as well. Just a remark on that: they're not marking Debbie as a dressage test would. Can you explain again what you're actually judging? You're judging the horse, not the rider as well, obviously, but it's not actually movement, set movements, is it, Debbie?
Well, there is a test that they ride, a pattern, so that we can evaluate one versus the other. It's not a freestyle that you show off your best movements. So they come in and ride a test, but I am a dressage judge as well as sport horse and eventing, and it's not judged at all the same. We just look for potential. So if your transition misses a letter, you go off course, we don't care. All we're looking to do is see what is the best athlete in that group. You know, can it move? Is it rideable? Does it have suppleness? And of course, balance that we talked about, but it's accuracy does not count at all.
And I'd like to add one other word to your balance, because balance in nature is probably one of the most important things. It keeps us from falling down, balance, but rhythm and balance. And it's that rhythm we're looking for, rhythm and balance.
Absolutely.
For me.
Good point. And
the rhythm in all the gaits is the four time of the walk. I mean, normally a four time walk, a horse that will really walk. If you want to see how a horse walks, stand behind him and watch the tail. If that tail is swinging, for me, that horse is walking and he's overtracking. And they walk past you and you check the overtrack and you see the length of stride and the easiness of action. But it's got to be a four-time movement. The canter, obviously, a three-time movement. And this is all about the rhythm of it, you know. And some horses might be a little bit rushed in it and whatever. You wait till they settle and you see them settle and evaluate the canter. It worries me a little bit in the modern event horse, the posh trot, I call it, the real, real elevated, floaty trot. And some horses have it in spades and some horses not so much. And it worries me a little bit when I see a real fancy trot. It's spectacular and it can gain marks, there's no doubt, perhaps as well. But, you know, I don't jump out a trot too often. I do at times, but the quality of the canter and a natural quality of canter, that's what I'm really looking at. Is the hind end getting in engaged? How engaged is it? Is it naturally engaged? Is it rider assisted engaged? And what's my rhythm like? A horse that normally walks well, that four-time movement is obviously replicated in the gallop, a four-time movement again. And we have strong emphasis on the gallop after their jumping phase. But we go through the jumping phase, Nicole, and you'd be wondering what's in our minds in that jumping phase, perhaps.
Well, Chris, I have to say you're absolutely right about the rhythm, and that kind of, in my mind, went without saying, so I apologize. But the horses that we had this year, because of the top in the country, there was not one horse that had impure gaits. All the rhythm was fine. Some of them had more athletic ability, but there wasn't one horse that had an irregular gait shown. And I agree with you, the canter is the most important for our sport. I think the trot's important because you do so much conditioning work in the trot, as well as just the movements that we're evaluating to win a dressage test. But you do so much conditioning work in the trot being the most balanced gait. And then back to the canter, I do like to see that little bit of air time, you know, after you do your three beats and you have that moment of suspension, because that's going to help your horse be adjustable, which is so important if you're going to be a 4 or 5 star horse. They have to be incredibly adjustable now.
I love that you just, those ingredients that are coming together with these young horses, the 4, the 5 year olds, in terms of the foundation that these programs lay for the future, Chris, I know that we saw, I think there were 3 horses inside the top 20 at Maryland and the 5 star this year that have come through the Young Event Horse program. What is the importance of it in terms of producing these top level event horses that we hope we'll be seeing at future Olympic Games, World Championships, and at the 5 star level?
I quote William Micklem a lot. I love William Micklem and what he says. He's your authoritative academic horseman as well as a tremendous coach. And he talks about all the bees in he wants in his event art, beauty and brains and the B&B. And the B&B is obviously so hugely important as well, that those top horses get into the right hands to optimize their production and to realize their potential. And America is blessed with some tremendous riders. We saw it in spades there on both coasts as well. You mentioned those top 3 YH graduates finishing in the top 20 there, Quantum Leap of Doug Payne's and Don Dante, Will Coleman. What a round they gave us there as well. And Indy, of course, Indy 500 of Andrea Baxter is all finished in the top 20. And we'll come to that in a moment. I'd say the success of these young horse programs, whether it be in Ireland or the UK or here, or in the States, is how they perform at the top level. Is it working? Is the system working? And we get to that in a moment. But your original question, Nicole, I've forgotten your original question. Pardon me.
No, that's okay. But in terms of the importance that these young event horse classes, what ingredients is it giving them in addition to this early stage of their career to enable them to go on and progress and impress at the higher levels?
Yeah, there's a strong element of competition, obviously, in the East Coast, West Coast finals in the States and in all young horse programs, no doubt. But there's a more important point as well, and that is the education and the foundation stones you're laying for those youngsters. And we found our final is in the RDS, in the Dublin Horse Show, and the experience that they gain in the main arena and the atmosphere they encounter in there. And the same with Maryland. I mean, there was a real buzz Maryland there this year. Of course there was, with the first 5 star there. Those young horses are sampling atmosphere that hopefully they're going to sample when they get up to championship level. And there's no doubt whether it's flags flapping like we saw on the West Coast and everywhere that we would go to in these young horse finals. It sets an imprint on them that will be they will benefit from life for. The other thing as well, to produce a horse for these young horse programs, it does take production, and there's no real shortcut for it. And that was perhaps tried a long time ago, that you could carry a horse through. No, now he's got to be produced and produced to a level. And I think that would be the same common denominator in all the young horse programs, no matter where, that there is a structural approach to producing a young horse and to produce them, obviously, successfully. and so that they can cope with that level of production that is required. And I know when I first got to the Young Event Horse finals in the USA many years ago, and I see where it's come from then to now, and I see a huge progress, and horses completely comfortable at the final, which is very important.
I'd like to talk about the qualifiers that we use. When we go to qualify the young horses, we start as early as January for the horses that go south, but you can qualify all the way up till just the month out before the competition. The qualifiers, I think, are crucial for the young horses. They're very quiet. A lot of them are standalone competitions. So when you present your young horse, the riders aren't putting pressure on them because accuracy doesn't count. It's not submission like it is in a dressage test for regular competition. It's rideability. So if they play about a little bit or they're not steady in the contact, it's not as important. The important thing is, do they listen when you ask? If they're a little bit fresh or miss a lead or something, that doesn't matter. But the qualifiers, early in the year, the jumps are lower than they are midsummer or in the fall. As the year progresses, we change the height of the fences and the difficulty of the questions, like your approach to the water or where you might set the ditch. So it's really nice to take your young horse more than once during the year, once to get your score, but you can take them again and it's physically easy on them because you only do the 15 jumps and the short dressage test, but mentally it's easy. There's not a lot of pressure. And I think everybody's starting, I know many of the riders I talk to just love taking the young horses and giving them the practice at the sport without making it a big deal for them that day.
I think actually, Debbie, how you've touched upon that there brings me on to another point that I'd like to raise. That obviously, you know, you see the Chris Tallies, the Caroline Martins, the really, really top riders, you know, going on to have a great deal of success in this class. Absolutely, that is brilliant. We're lucky to have so many talented riders. But actually, this is a program that everybody can take part in with their younger horses. And actually, it is as much about the young horse education and the rider education along the way and producing their horses in that sympathetic way, producing them with an eye on the future, that there is so much to be learned from those qualifying classes for everybody. And there is, at the end, this incredible target that if you can qualify for, that you can really go and experience something special in the sport. Do you think that's a really important wider foundation outside of the championships, which are obviously the jewel in the crown?
Absolutely. And the other thing that we should mention is in all the young event horse classes, including the championships, before you start your jump round, you have a couple minutes where you can take your horse out and walk it through the water. So they're not surprised. They've already been in the water, so they have a good entrance. And you can show them any spooky fences. So it really ends up, especially those first couple months of the year, just being a great schooling opportunity because you can show them the fences, you can walk and trot through the water, and then immediately go ahead and do your performance. So the horses are quite confident. So as a judge, I can really evaluate their talent, because if they're cautious as a young horse, to me, that's only a good sign.
Yeah. Absolutely. Chris, how does it compare? Because obviously you've had a huge amount of experience now in terms of the US Young Event Horse classes. You've heavily involved in the Irish equivalent, and I know that you follow the British equivalent very, very closely as well. So how do they all compare to one another and how do they differ?
Yeah, it's the common denominator, obviously, those 4 and 5 year olds, that is the common denominator, the age pattern. But what I see there in the States there, this last visit over, the strength in their 5 year olds is very high. I mean, their top 10 would stand up in the top 10 in Ireland, and I'm sure in the UK also. They are putting a lovely, lovely horse on the ground over there. And we didn't get to see the 4 year olds East Coast. We were full out on the 5 year olds. On the West Coast, we did see the 4 year olds as well as the 5 year olds. We judged both classes. And I'd make a comparison there. And it's a general personalized one, which is always a little bit, I won't say dangerous, but without having seen the foils on the East Coast, I'd say that what I saw, the strength of five-year-olds would be mirrored in Ireland by the strength in our four-year-olds. Normally, our four-year-old class would be probably the stronger of the two. Why? Because we're a selling nation and we will probably, the best of the four-year-olds might have already been purchased and moved on. And the five-year-olds, we see some cracking five-year-olds in our classes, and they could be slightly left behind, which is absolutely no harm at all. They've got another year under their belt. And I'd have to say in the Irish program here, yes, we call it YES, yes, Young Event Horse Series. We had the strongest bunch of four-year-olds that I've seen in the last, 10, 12 years at least. And that is saying something because we've had some cracking horses to us back the years. But this year, absolutely tremendous. And I'm thrilled for our breeders that they're putting these horses on the ground. They're putting the right horse on the ground. And it augurs well, not just for now, but obviously in hopefully Los Angeles, as you mentioned at the start of the program.
Absolutely. How has the stamp changed in the years? You know, the modern event horse is perhaps a little bit different. I know, Chris, you've kind of touched upon the fancy trot as such there, but have you seen a change in the type of horses that are coming forward? And is this program key and instrumental in helping make sure that actually the right horses stay in our sport for the future?
I would hope so. Obviously, there were some radical changes back the years when we lost roads and tracks and the steeplechase as a real test of further test of stamina. Well, I'm delighted at Maryland Five Star, the undulations of Maryland. For me, they were reciprocating exactly what the roads and tracks and steeplechase for us old dinosaurs, perhaps we might term ourselves now. But I love that test of stamina. It's got to be a test of stamina. And just a light impression of the modern event there now, and the short format and the longer format. Even the longer format, some of the tracks don't really, for me, ask enough of stamina. And we need a test of stamina. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to come in with the, I still think I'm a bit of a dinosaur, but I'm going to go with the modern opinion. I think our sport has evolved to test a triathlete. I think they have to be good in all three phases now. When I first started competing, it was with roads and tracks and steeplechase. And yes, conditioning and fitness was a very big part of the sport, and it was a great sport. I must say that I like the way the sport is now, because I feel that the top horses that are triathletes do get tested, and they come out showing that they can do all three sports. They're not horses that have moved up 40 some places after cross country. I think that was a great sport. I think it has evolved to be a different one, and I see a lot more horses staying sound now for a longer number of years than we had in the past.
That's got to be a great thing as well. Just one little, again, a thought more than anything else, you know, that you see the dressage test, Debbie and Nicole, and now if you're not in the low 20s, you've a lot of ground to make up. And that there can be still even more improvement made, and we're going to see sub 20s as a winning score. Show jumping and cross country, the best you can do is finish within the time clear. And the best cross country round I have seen, take Falco there the other day. I mean, unbelievable at Poe, absolutely beautiful. It deserved more than, for me, just getting a clear round within the time. There's no bonus points to get. Dressage still is getting lower and lower and lower. And as long as the three phases are weighted, and they are, it seems that they are weighted nicely, and you still need a quality horse to make those times count, that's for sure. But it's just an interesting one that you can't improve on a clear within the time in both cross country and show jumping.
That is true.
But in dressage, Debbie's going to be recording 12s.
The scores will be getting lower and lower and lower. Honestly, the conversation...
I hope that's my horse.
The conversation is absolutely fascinating. And I would make an important point as well. I know, Debbie, you're an owner, and Chris, you've been involved in the sport for such a long time, and actually having the Young Event Horse Championships at prestigious venues like Twin Rivers and at like Fairhill at Maryland at the Five Star, you know, that is a real target and objective for owners involved in the sport who absolutely love our sport. And without those owners supporting the sport and funding horses to be able to take part, you know, it isn't possible. So it is a great addition to be able to encourage them to keep young horses and to keep aiming for the bigger classes throughout the year, as well as enjoying being able to develop these good young horses for the future. Just a quick one before we finish. Chris, Debbie, in terms of the championships this year, you've obviously seen no end of absolutely brilliant horses, but were there any that stood out for you as ones that you say to our listeners, do you know what? Keep an eye out for them. They could be our winners, or they could be ones that didn't quite go to plan, but you really, really love for the future. So, Debbie, I'll come to you first. Any that stand in your mind particularly strongly?
Well, I'm not going to give you an individual horse, because I really thought, if you look at the scores, the top 10 in the country taking the top three or four placing horses on the West Coast, and, well, maybe more than that, because definitely the top 10 horses on the East Coast had scores in the 90s. And I think all of them, so maybe let's say the top 15 horses, are going to be good horses for the future. I've been in the sport long enough and have a young horse in my barn now with Dreams, and they develop so differently. And it depends on the program they're in, a little bit of luck, how they mature. I mean, I loved one of the horses jumping, and I think he ended up, I don't know, fourth or fifth on the East Coast, because he's just immature. He didn't have the freedom of movement. Maybe it was tension. But I think that if you look at the top 15 horses, you see horses that'll all be good horses for the U.S. in the future.
Debbie, it's interesting, just looking at, we have our young horse program here in Ireland. It's going, nearly 20 years now. And the best of them, the best of the graduates, have been in the top 10. They haven't necessarily been the winners, and that have shone really on the day, perhaps. But it's still a very, very good average. And on that East Coast, Nicole, there was two that really caught my eye, and they finished, I think, third and fourth, as it happened. And Diorado gelding Invictus. I looked up his pedigree after Diorado, and Diorado, interestingly, is the sire of our one of our top 4-year-olds in our Young Event Horse Series there this year. A lovely, lovely mare from Kate Jarvie. And interesting, same sire, Invictus. Karen O'Connor owned and bred. Mia Farley rode him, and I just couldn't take my eyes off of him, and he excited me big time. And a thoroughbred, I think, finished fourth or fifth again. Lincoln's Address, a thoroughbred by Union Rags, a very smart boy, and who was on him only Philip Dutton. And I know we're looking at the horse all the time, but my God, he gave him some ride, and just the blood and the quality and the jump, and they have it all. As have the first the three ahead of them on the West Coast, the 5-year-old, any of those first three, as Debbie said, it'd be hard to split them. I was happy with the way it panned out. The winner, Corpse Lex D of Amber Bertzel, I think from the moment I set eyes on him, I thought, that'll do me. And he just shaded Andrea Baxter on a very, very smart horse, Leif Ober. Beautiful, beautiful horses. And the third horse, bang up behind, the most true horse I saw working from behind, most beautiful, beautiful quality horse, was a Zara, AEV Zara it was. And so, you know, as Debbie says, any in that top 10, we'd hope to see them at Los Angeles or before.
Well, here's a little point. I have my score sheets in front of me from both the East and West Coast. And the one horse that you and I agreed on so much, we gave it solid 10s all across the general impressions, was that horse of Tim Burke's that was Kung Fu quality horse. Of course, you know, this is an Irish rider, so you would like it. but we gave 10 on rideability, 10 on gallop, 10 on gallop between fences in our general impression. We just loved him.
What was the horse's name again? One of Tim Burke's?
Yeah, it's Kung Fu quality.
There you go, listeners. Kung Fu quality. We pinned them down to a name eventually. We did get there. There's so many good horses that it's hard to look past them all. But, you know, we hope that we will be seeing these horses at future championships. And it certainly plays a massive, massive part in their sort of development, their education as they head on up the levels. So it's a really, really exciting class, listeners. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little bit more about it. And hopefully that we'll see a few of these horses featuring in the Le Lion d'Angers Young Horse World Championships in the next couple of years. Obviously, there's the six-year-old World Championships that some of the five-year-olds will be taking. And then obviously this year's five-year-olds class would again be one that we could see receiving the grant money and that support from the Dutra Corporation in 2023, I think it will be.
Nicole, you mentioned those sponsors. America is blessed with those sponsors. Dutra Corp have backed down their Young Horse program for so long and absolutely brilliant. And that's a huge carrot going to Le Lion, to the Turner, Tim Holtkamp bursary. It's absolutely massive. And that's what's really brought it alive, I think, for me. There's a huge target there and a huge reward at the end of it as well. And for us here in Ireland, it's going to the RDS, to the Dublin Horse Show, and it's a hell of a showcase. And yours, of course, in Burley. And it's fantastic to get to those places. And the owners will see where they hope those horses are going to end up, at the very, very top levels.
Absolutely. It really, really is inspirational. Chris, Debbie, thank you both so, so much. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show. We really appreciate it. Debbie, you're off to go and find your potential next young superstar, I think.
Yes, I picked him up. Yeah, I picked him up this afternoon.
There you go. We'll look forward to following his progress as well. But look, thank you both very, very much. Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed a special insight into the Young Event Horse Programme, into Colhorn's Le Lion d'Angers Young Horse Championship journey as well. And we will be back very soon with more on the USCA official podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.